Thank you very much. Yes, let me add my welcome to that of Adams. I'm Phil. I'm part of the church family here. And before we come to our time of remembrance and thinking what it is we do at church, I thought we'd start with a short quiz. I've got some pictures that are going to come up on the screen. And what I'd like you to do is just think what these people might be thinking or feeling. And you can shout those answers out. So the first picture is going to come up in just a second. He says with great confidence, love in action. That's what we're thinking about today. Here's the first picture. What are these people thinking or feeling? What do you reckon?
Happy.
Happy, yeah. Other things?
Joyous.
Joyous, yeah. Yeah.
Enjoyed.
Enjoyed? Yeah, they're enjoying one another, isn't it? What do you think they feel toward one another?
Love.
How can you tell? Yeah, just shout out some things that you can see. They're holding hands. They're smiling. They're laughing. They look like they love each other. When we've seen people that love each other, this might be how they act. Okay, here's the next one. Is this person in love, do you reckon? No. Okay, what do you think he's feeling?
Angry.
How do you know? Yeah, he's smashing something. Anyone else felt like that with a printer? Yeah. Okay, next one. What about this guy? What do you think he's feeling?
Sad.
How do you know? Yeah, he's got his hands on his head. He's looking down. Maybe we'd see someone like that and we'd go, oh, this person's not feeling okay. Maybe they need some help. Now, none of those people told us anything. No one said, oh, I'm in love. No one said, I'm angry. No one said, I'm sad. But we could tell by the way they were acting. Anyone know that expression, actions speak louder than words? You heard that one? Yeah, it's the idea that what we show with our actions tell us what's going on inside, what we think, what we feel, what we believe. One more picture then. What do you think these guys are thinking or feeling in this picture? Scared, nervous. What do you all say down here?
Demoted.
Devoted. Devoted, yeah. Yeah, great. How would you describe what they're doing in that photo? What words might you use? They're on an adventure. They're brave. They're in war. Brave, courageous, fearful. There's a lot of things going on in that picture, isn't there? We might use some of those words to describe what's going on. We could definitely say that they're brave and courageous. How do we know that? Because we can see it. The first thing we said was fear, scared. I probably would be pretty scared if I was in the trenches too. And yet, those soldiers went over the top of the trenches into war, into battle. They were feeling courageous. They may not have said that word. They may have said, I was scared. But we can see from their actions that they were courageous. Our actions, they give proof to what we think and what we feel. This week we just had elections in America, and we've heard a lot of politicians say things like, I love my country. And maybe they do, but how will we know? Depends what they do for their country when they're in power. I can't say I love my wife and then treat her really badly, because that wouldn't show that I really love her. We're thinking about love today, and we may think that that photo doesn't show love, but I think it does. Maybe you agree, maybe you don't, but I think it does because of what the Bible says about love. This is what the Bible says, coming up on the screen, 1 John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Adam read it at the beginning. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay our lives down for our brothers and sisters. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. In this passage, we hear something about the ultimate kind of love. Love lays its life down for others. Ultimate love lays down its life. I don't know, does anyone remember the first movie they ever saw? Who thinks it was probably a Disney movie? Yeah, quite a few of us. Certainly, I think my first movie I saw in the cinema was the Tigger movie. Not a well-known or well-loved one. But what did these three Disney scenes all have in common? Anyone know? Brilliant. One person protecting someone else. Yeah, someone over here said sacrifice. That's it. If you've seen those movies, those are all moments where someone sacrifices themselves for the person they love, at the cost of their own life. I've got another three, expanding our House of Mouse into other franchises. What about this? Does that have the same thing going on? Yeah, they're all but they're not sacrificing for one person, but kind of all people. You know, Obi-Wan gives himself for the resistance. Iron Man gives himself for the universe. Wally gives himself for the remainder of the human race. They all love something bigger than themselves. Not just one person, but they do this ultimate act of love. Often the ultimate act of love can look a lot like the ultimate act of heroism. It's ultimate love in action. Love that gives itself up for someone or something else. We can see that in those Disney movies where the princess is saved by the prince or even by another princess, as in Frozen. We can see that in action movies when the hero gives themselves for the sake of the world. We can see that in the soldiers who went over the trench into the battleground, giving themselves up for the goodness, the love of what is right and good. We can ask the question, did those men really love their country? If we ask that over here, we've got a plaque with 60 names on it. Did they love their country? What's the answer? Of course they did. We can see it because they were willing to give their life for it. We can also see it in Jesus, because in Jesus, God's love is proved. We see that in the passage we had. There's this historical event, Jesus dying on a cross, and in that we see God's love. The love that all of us know, it's Jesus' love. It's the ultimate act of ultimate love. He died to save us. And we're going to think a little bit more about how that is ultimate love in an ultimate way after we do our act of remembrance. So I'm going to pass back over to Adam, and then we'll continue thinking what Jesus' love means for us. As the guys keep finding their seats, we'll think back to what we were just thinking about a second ago. We were thinking about the soldiers who gave their lives in wars to protect this country. They went to war knowing they may not come back, knowing that they may have to give their life. And that is an ultimate sense of love. And we saw that in the verse that we read. We had this idea that because of Jesus laying down his life, so we too should lay down our lives for brothers and sisters. And that is what the soldiers demonstrated. But what about the first part of that verse, Jesus laying down his life? What's that all about? Was anyone around 2,000 years ago when Jesus laid down his life? No one's quite that old. What does it mean for someone to die 2,000 years ago and for it to mean something for us today? Another way John describes Jesus' death in his letter is as a sacrifice, like a payment of a debt toward God. You see, sin, our attitude toward God, our rejection of him, our going away from him, that's a big deal in the Bible. And it says it requires a payment. It says that it needs to be paid with death, which sounds pretty sad. Jesus' death shows us how big a deal sin really is, that going away from God. We might think we can kind of shove the things we don't like under a carpet and hide them away, but actually the Bible says the opposite. It says God sees all things. God even knows what's in our hearts. So we can't shove it away. Sin needs to be dealt with. It's a big deal. We cannot enter God's perfect life, eternal, joyous, free from pain, free from suffering, free from death, when we have sin. Now imagine you had a friend who was in debt, that they've got a bill to pay. Hands up if you'd pay your friend's bill for them. You're not sure, because I haven't told you how much it is, right? What about if this bill that's unpaid is about 10p? Who's going to pay their friend's bill for them? Some of you wouldn't. That, you know, that's your choice. That's fine. Most of you would. That's fine. What if it was £10? Would you pay your friend's debt for you? A few less, but still most of us. What about £10,000? Who's paying your friend's debt then? Still a couple of really good friends out there. What about £10 million? I'm sure if you all had £10 million to just give away, you probably would. But do we see, depending how big that debt is, will depend how willing we are to give something up. I wonder what you would be willing to give up for a friend, where your upper line would be. Would you give up a house, your car? Maybe. But actually, you'd have to love someone a lot to give up those things that are really important to your life, the things that make you who you are and give you your state. You'd have to love someone a lot to give something up. Sin is a big deal, and the payment for sin is death. That would be a massive thing to give up, a whole life. And yet Jesus' love is so great, what our verse tells us is that he lays down his life for us. Because sin needs to be forgiven, and Jesus' death makes that possible. When he died, he paid the price for sin. When God looks at that bill, it no longer says unpaid. It now says, with a big stamp, Jesus paid this in full. The payment has been made. Jesus has paid the price. His love is so great that his death did that for us. As John's saying in the Bible, he laid down his life, an ultimate act of ultimate love for us. And the reason it's so ultimate is not because he just went to the cross and he just died, but he did that for every single person, whether they know him and love him and want to be friends with Jesus, or whether they didn't. The Bible says that Jesus died for his enemies as well as his friends. If we think back to those pictures we had from Disney earlier, it's like Anna dying for Hans. It's like Obi-Wan dying to save the Sith. It's like Iron Man clicking his fingers to save Thanos. It's like the soldiers going into the battlefield to protect the enemy. It doesn't quite sound right in our heads, but yet that is how deep Jesus' love was. How far it reached was even to God's enemies, those who didn't love him, the ungodly and the unrighteous, God's enemies. God died so that they might live, so that you and I might live, even though we're sinful and have turned away from God. The truth of this passage is that God loves you so much that he died for you, that he sent his son Jesus to die for your sins. Whether you're a Christian and you've heard that every week on a Sunday as you come to church, that Jesus died for you, it's still true. Jesus loves you, and he died and gave up his life for you. Maybe you think you're too bad for Jesus. You've gone the wrong way too often. You've done too many bad things. Jesus loves you, and he gave up his life for you. Whether you're not sure, you've heard about Jesus, you've heard some of the stories from the Bible, but you're not sure any of it's true. Jesus loves you. He gave up his life for you. Whether you actually would consider yourself an enemy of God, someone who's not interested in religion, someone who doesn't like God, flat down, Jesus loves you, and he gave up his life to die for you. That's how much God loves us, that even though we're his enemies, he gave up his love in the Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. An ultimate act of ultimate love, Jesus laid down his life so that all who trust in him will not perish, but have eternal life. That's another thing that John said in his gospel. It's on the screen there. He gave up his life so no one would perish, but whoever believes in him will have eternal life. On Remembrance Day, we remember those who gave up their lives to save us as a nation. And that act of love is remembering Jesus' ultimate act of ultimate love when he gave up his life to save our souls. We're about to sing another song after some notices from Adam that was written by a guy called John Newton. Anyone know who John Newton was? A few people do. He was a slave trader. And you might think, whoa. Slave trader, but he was trading slaves, and he got caught in a storm, and he read his Bible while he was caught in the storm. He thought he was going to die. He flicked it open, and he encountered this love of Jesus, and he realized he was doing everything wrong. And when he wrote this song, Amazing Grace, you'll see it in the first verse. It says, this amazing grace, it saved a wretch like me. Even the worst people can be saved by Jesus. That's how deep his love is. So before we sing that, and before we hear some notices, let me pray for us. Lord God, we thank you for your love that we see through Jesus on the cross when he laid down his life for us. Would you increase in us our love for others as we remember those who laid down their lives for us as well. We thank you that we can come to you no matter who we are, where we've come from, what our background is, and know that we can be forgiven through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in whose name we now pray. Amen.